New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got
him. Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome into Attacking Third, CBS Sports Soccer Podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today by my special guest host, Jordan Angeli, NWSL analyst. And we're here to chat about the NWSL weekend ahead of us. We've got Week 10 action upon us and the UWCL final, the Women's Champions League final is here. We're going to take a couple of deep dives on both of those topics. Before we do, a quick reminder to subscribe to us on YouTube, also as a podcast. So follow, like, and download, and leave a rating and review so that you never miss out on a single episode. Jordan, you and I are back at it, buddy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Sandra. Good to see you. Happy to be a fill-in. We're like in the middle. Lisa's married these next 2 days. So we're so excited for her, but I'm pumped that I get to step in and chat with you. As you just said, there is a lot going on and it is going to be a fun packed women's soccer weekend. I'm actually in North Carolina watching the soccer tournament. So I've been watching the U.S. women's team and I should have been more prepared, but the goalie for the women's team,
love it.
She might be putting herself into a spot. I know she's been in NWSL a little bit, but she might be playing her way into a spot here in NWSL soon.
Look, I hear you. I hear you 100% because I caught some of those games yesterday on the stream. And yeah, for those who aren't aware, I think we're chatting Lindsay Harris, and she did spend a little time with Houston Dash. So I mean, some of those saves though out of control. So yeah. I'm with you.
I'm glad you said her name because her jersey says Hoop, and I'm sure that's her nickname. Yes. But I'm like, I swear her name isn't Hoop because in my brain, okay, I know what you're talking about now. She's been incredible. So there's a lot of women's soccer happening, just like we love.
No, it never sleeps, right? That's what we all say.
Never,
about
never.
It never sleeps. It's always there's something always on the docket for us to talk about and chat about. So shout out to everyone who's joining us and thank you for being with us this morning. If you're joining us live, you know, we always have our YouTube component with it and everyone gets to react to what we're chatting about. So happy Friday, happy Pride. Let's talk some women's soccer. We're going to start with NWSL because we've got to preview some matches. We've got a full slate of games. As always, I want to talk about Washington Spirit versus Racing Louisville First. Okay, this one's kicking off on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Of course, you can catch all NWSL action across CBS Sports platforms, Paramount Plus. When we're looking at these two games, Jordan, got Spirit, who have mostly been in the upper half of the table to start this first 10 weeks of the season, going up against Racing Louisville, who have hit a pretty good run of form themselves, but they haven't had enough for us to see them really kind of crack through that upper half of the table. But they are coming off of a midweek Challenge Cup win against Chicago Red Stars 2-0. And Savannah DeMello still looking like she's the player to watch and keep on your scouting reports. When you're looking at these two teams, are you feeling the makings of a winner, a loser, a draw? What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, this is going to be a fun matchup. I'm glad we're starting with this one because, as you just mentioned, both these teams are in good run of form. When you talk about Washington Spirit at home, Audi Field, they have not lost this season. They snuck out that 1-1 draw off of a corner kick last weekend, which against Gotham, which was a really good result from them because I don't think they played very well. They were a little unconvincing in the things that they wanted to do and couldn't quite stretch Gotham. But Racing is a team who I feel like has finally found their form. Kim Bjorkegren has talked for over the last year and a half how he wants this team to play. And Sandra, they finally have pieces to be able to play. And because of that, I think it's simplified actions with Jalen Howell. She doesn't have to do as much. So she can just sit, defend. She wins tackles. She wins aerial duels. She, her upside, the things she's good at, are on more display. So this is a long way of saying, I think that Louisville is going to go in there and get a win against Washington. And this is why. I know. I'm going with a big upset, I think, for a lot of people right away. The Spirit looked, and I think they'll have a bounce back, but they, Gotham took away the space in behind, so they could not transition quickly. And I think Racing is going to take that and say, all right, we're going to put that to play here. We're not going to give Trinity Rodman, Ashley Hatch, the ability to go quickly in transition, deny them central spaces. And then this Racing side is going to be good in possession and find a way to utilize the left side. Because you said this, I can't remember which week it was, maybe last week or the week before. I was listening to you guys and you were saying, if, like, what else does Louisville have? Because they like to go down the left side, right? DeMelo loves that pocket on the left. So I think that Racing is going to find a way to isolate DeMelo a little bit more, shift a little to playing more on the right so they can switch the point of attack and really attack the left in some pockets of space. But this is going to be a fun one at Audi Field. I know the fans there have been amazing, and I just think this one's going to have really good energy. But I think I think Louisville is going to come in and get a good result.
Sorry, I think if you look at things on paper, that Spirit are probably the team to run away with things here. And I love that you're like dropping hints that you definitely are one of our avid listeners, because I'm with you. I think I've said before a couple of times on the show that there's footage out of DeMelo. The scouting report is there. Teams can prepare for that. Maybe they want to, you know, do something to kind of eliminate her impact on the pitch. And I'm with you in terms of talking about the home side a little bit in terms of Audi Field. I don't know if we've actually had the opportunity to highlight that a little bit. It's the first year they're actually playing in Audi Field, calling that their home arena. And there's only a certain amount of facilities, I think, in the league that you can look at and say that's a home field advantage. And I think in this first half of the season, the fans there and respectfully the team have made it a difficult place to play in. So I like your spoiler pick in this game. I think Racing might try to come into this game and punch a bit above their weight to say, hey, we belong in that upper half of the table, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to get a win. I do like out of this Challenge Cup what we saw in terms of the adjustments. I think it's massive to see Uchenna Kanu get on the score line in the score sheet for Racing. This is a player that they were very excited about obtaining over the offseason, myself included. I wanted to see, you know, this high-flying scoring ability from this player. And I know she's happy to finally get in the score sheet too, just that, you know, as we're just, what, 50 days out from the World Cup. And so she wants to get going for Nigeria as well. So there's a lot to build off of this midweek, but I'm a little bit fixated on it, Jordan. I'm wondering if maybe the turnaround might be a little bit too much. It's not super lengthy travel, but it matters in the midweek. So I don't know if there's going to be enough here for Racing to go out and truly disappoint, but I think they do have the makings of a draw. And I'm going to open up, not so much as a spoiler, I'm going to open up our picks with a draw in this one, with the Spirit and Racing going head to head. Let's pivot. Let's talk a big rivalry, the Cascadia rivalry, OL Reign versus Portland Thorns. This one kicking off on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern as well, but you can catch the action on CBS Sports Network. So make sure you tune in, because you never want to miss when these two teams go head to head. We're talking about Challenge Cup recaps as well. OL Reign coming off of a massive midweek Challenge Cup win against San Diego Wave. Let's chat a little bit about that in our preview of this match. Does that impact your pick, you know, to win or lose or draw in this one, Jordan? Who'd you got in this one and why?
I think I think it's interesting now that the Challenge Cup is within the season, we're seeing the depth of teams a lot more on display because they have to manage these midweek games in the midst of some really challenging games. OL Reign played Angel City, and then now they're playing a big Cascadia rivalry with a midweek game. So how do you rotate? And I think they did a really good job, and so did Portland in the midweek, of utilizing their depth. I love for Portland that Izzy DeQuilla went in there and turned up. I was hoping she was going to get a start, and she did. She gets the assist, which was like such a chef's kiss pass on that. And then a little flick. I think what we saw from both of the teams is they're deep, and they can still play when they're deep. For OL Reign, I love the play of Olivia Athens, centrally. She is just such a creative outlet for them, and we don't see that on display in regular season often, but we really saw on display. And I thought Jordan Heidema had a good game. But with that being said, I don't think Jordan Heidema starts this game. I think they start with Elise Bennett, who has looked really good for them in being a target forward. Reign love to cross the ball. You know that, Sandra. They love themselves a good cross with Huerta on the side, with Megan Rapinoe on the other side. This is a cross-dominant team. And Elise Bennett, I think right now, is a little bit better at her runs in the box to be effective for this Reign squad. She's a bigger target. She can hold the ball up. She drifts a little bit less than Heidema. So I'm thinking they're starting with Bennett. But this is going to be an interesting rivalry. This is now, I think, the 35th meeting I read. Yeah, 35th meeting between these two teams. There's been 84 yellow cards between in this these regular season matchups in Cascadia rivalry. There's going to be 40,000 plus people there because they opened it up. It's a doubleheader with Seattle Sounders and the Portland Timbers. So this is going to be wild. I think that this is going to be a draw, but it's going to be a high-scoring draw.
Okay.
A high-scoring draw because OL Reign have been giving up goals at home, but they just showed us, and they showed us a couple weeks ago, they can score a lot of goals at home, and they've kind of found their groove. And, I mean, Portland is so difficult. You manage Sophia Smith while Crystal Dunn punishes you. You take away Crystal Dunn. Well, here's Olivia Moultrie being one of the best players in the midfield in this league. And then I don't think Sagita gets enough credit for what she does for this Thorn squad. So I'm thinking 2-2, 3-3. We're getting a lot of goals in this. We're getting a lot of goals.
I love it. I love the draw, but I love that it's a wild draw. And I think people might hear that pick and actually agree with you. They may be like, yeah, that sounds right. You know, these are two teams that are capable of cracking through on goal, and maybe we'll see them, you know, excite the crowd with that high flying action. I'm with you on the Reign 100% in terms of what they're showing in that attacking third. They're breaking through on goal finally. I think it looked maybe in that first quarter of this season we were a little bit like, oh, like there's some of those things from 2022 still haunting them, you know, like what's happening here. But you know, they've shown, I think, at this point of the season, they're capable of delivering a hefty lopsided scoreline. They've had a number of games now that we can look at and say, here's a lopsided scoreline, here's another and another. And I'm sure they're happy for that as well. You always want to kind of shake off that type of narrative around you as a team. And I'm excited for what we're going to witness in terms of the sights and sounds and the environment out of a game like this. This is a very special rivalry. I mean, just listening to you say like it's going to be the 35th meeting all time, but between them, it's just, we're here, like we made it. It's like we're past the decade mark, and we're looking at two originals essentially going head to head once again. It's just sort of an iconic fixture, I think, for us to always take a look at, and it always delivers. And I think with that midweek match, I like the rotation from Laura Harvey. I'm with you, and then I hope Elise Bennett gets a start in this game as well. But there's something about when you have Jess Fishlock on that pitch for this rivalry, when you have Megan Rapinoe available for this rivalry, and what they can bring in these moments. Talk about rising to the occasion, right? I think these are two players players who are absolutely going to help set the tone. And I think they knew that. Laura Harvey knew that going into this week in terms of mapping out and planning things for their midweek and then their big rivalry along the way. And that's why I'm going to give a slightest of edges to OL Reign. I'm going to say it's still going to be high scoring, but I think they get that breakthrough and they get all 3 points. So I'll be happy either way. If we get the goals, if we get the rivalry, heck, if we get the fouls and the yellows, I'll be excited for that too. So you've got the draw. I've got the dub.
I think the fouls are guaranteed.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have fun when we look at that stat line as well. Let's preview one more game before we take a break this episode. Let's chat a little bit about Houston Dash versus Orlando Pride. This one also kicking off on Saturday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. You can catch the action on Paramount Plus. You know, these two teams, a little bit of a rivalry there on their own. I don't know if I'm gonna throw it back a little bit here. There was several seasons ago where the league went ahead and they broke things down regionally and they tried to have more games to help offset travel. And Houston and Orlando were two of the teams that played each other pretty often. So there's some good footage in old film between these two sides. But I'm curious what the 2023 edition is going to look like between the two of them. We've got Orlando coming off of a bit of an unbeaten streak that was snapped with a loss to Chicago. And Houston Dash coming off of a win. Sanchez and Ordonez kind of showing that they still have this chemistry with each other and breaking through on goal. Do you have someone who's maybe a clear winner in this one, Jordan, or you think there's going to be some fine margins in between the lines there?
Yeah, I do think there's going to be fine margins, but I think the big question marks are on Houston and not on Orlando, because Orlando has shown it took them a little bit in this season to get some kinks out of the way that they wanted to play, Sandra. And I think with Seb Hines, he is a footballer like at heart, and his time playing, he really knew how he wanted this team to play. And it was their own mistakes that were putting them out of games early on in the season. Bad passes in the defensive third leading to quick transitions and goals against. But what happens with teams who want to play, we're seeing that with them. Louisville, I would say North Carolina is a lot around there too. These teams, 7, 8, 9 games into the season, start to look really good. And I think this Pride squad is starting to look really good, convincing in the way that they play. Have been playing with Abello centrally, and and she's done a really good job for them. I would say the question marks for Houston are where I want to start or really dig in. Houston are not good at home. And they have the worst record at home, and this is a shocking. I see someone in the chat talking about how hot it is in Houston. They should have such an advantage because they're there all the time. And this is something that Sam Lady is like, we've looked over the previous years and we are not good at home. So they have started to try to figure out a way that they can make home games look like away games. And I would imagine they implement this, because this is a team they very well should get a result against. Orlando Pride in Houston should be a result for Houston, especially when you're talking about how good Houston can be going forward. But the biggest question mark, Sandra, is why hasn't this front three worked out? With Sanchez, Ordonez, and Salmon. You look at those three, that's exactly what you want in a front line. Salmon has the speed and pace to go in behind. Ordonez holds the ball up, is the best target in the box, in the league. And then Maria Sanchez can play a ball on a dime. And they are not scoring enough goals. And I think the game over the last weekend where they get the 2-0 result, Ordonez gets a, you know, it was a beautiful combination between Sanchez and Ordonez to get the goal. That's going to give them confidence, but they have to figure that out. And that, if those three figure out a way to work together, because they haven't been playing together that much, but if they do get the start, this would be a big game for them, because I think this back line, although Pride have been solid with Madrill and Montefusco, now it's center backs, but if they can pull apart this back line a little bit with their runs off the ball, they could find some success. And I'm really just curious, Houston, how are you going to get it done at home? So I'm going Pride with the victory because of just how it's gone at home for Houston. But if Houston figure it out tonight, then that could set them up for some success at home in the future.
No, I'm with you 100%. I think we were just talking about narratives that maybe have followed teams a little bit from 2022 into 2023. And while the rain had maybe shook theirs off a little bit, Houston's is following them. They were also an excellent team on the road last year, and they're proving that they can go and rack up results when they're away from Houston. And maybe that's not always a good thing. While it's great to get results where you can get them, you still want to have that concept of making it a tough place to play while at home. And I think it's funny to have everyone joining us and a lot of people mentioning how it's summer. It's in the summer of Texas. It's going to be tough. It doesn't matter if this kickoff is going to be at 8 p.m. or 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's still going to be warm even when the sun just starts to go down. And I think when we're looking at these two teams going head-to-head, Orlando's no strangers to that. I mean, we've heard some similar things. Right. And when it comes to playing out in Florida, sometimes you have to deal with some rain that comes on and off. Some weather delays, you have to deal with some of the humidity in certain aspects when you do that. And that's a team that I think has tried to embrace that a little bit and make sure that it's difficult and play into that, for if you're going up against them at home. So I don't think the Pride are going to be intimidated by a warm weather match in Houston. I definitely think they're going to be motivated off of the result that they just dropped. I mean, if we're just looking at that loss that they had against Chicago Red Stars, a very narrow L that they took on the road, 1-0. I know that they were looking at those stat lines at the end and saying, how in the world? And I guess the answer is a listener, right? We have all the footage and the highlights to see that. But there was so much there for this team to take out of that match, to still feel that momentum, to still have all of those good things from a loss to kind of take in and roll into the next one and capitalize on those things, hopefully. And I'm with you. I think we're gonna go 2-for-2 here. I'm going with the Pride on the road as well. I just like what they're putting together. And I think there's something to be said, I think, about a team that's trying to build over the course of a long season. And for the Pride, even though they are kind of in this water or this bubble of what's considered a rebuild or a retooling kind of year, they're showing us that they, at the very least, that they have the pieces to compete, and they might along the way spoil some things down the road of this long season. And this midway point that we're approaching, I think, is a really good phase of the season to try to really lock into the tactics and the team identity that you are trying to push forward. And that coaching staff in Orlando has absolutely laid out the map for the team. And it just feels like the players that they have in place now have bought into that and are executing those tactics moving forward. I love that you mentioned the center back duo. You know, we love to talk about defenders on attacking third. Madrill no longer looks like that wide-eyed rookie that we saw in those early weeks. She looks comfortable in her role. Montefusco has probably played a little bit of a role there. It's helpful to have an experienced veteran to play off of. And I just really, really like this early glimpse and look at this potentially beautiful spine that they've got going on, whether it starts with that center back duo, whether they rotate Villacorta or Timrak in the mix all the way through Marta and then possibly Messiah Bright, right, for the finish. It's really fun to see, even when they're drawing a narrow result.
Yeah, and I would say that also what helps is they've solidified their goalkeeper. Anna Morehouse is now playing, and they were rotating at the beginning of the year. So that also is why they have such a good run right now. They're not giving up a lot of goals because there's cohesion in what they know they're going to start game in and game out when it comes to regular season play. So I'm with you. I like what they're building there. I'm interested in how much Hines is getting out of some of these players, and you're seeing players develop right in front of your eyes, which is really a cool thing to see.
Yeah, I love that we're closing out this first half or this first portion of the episode, both Gore and the Pride. I think it's going to come down to taxes, and it sounds like the coaching staff in Orlando has their together, and Houston's are still trying to figure theirs out, unfortunately. Stick with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we've got some more games to make some predictions. We'll be back after a quick break.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
All right, let's keep making some NWSL picks. Let's preview some of these matches. Let's talk a little bit about Kansas City Current versus North Carolina Courage. This one kicking off Saturday at 8:30 p.m. Of course, you can catch all the action on CBS Sports platforms, including Paramount Plus. Jordan, it pains me when we get ready to talk about the Current. I think we got to start there, right? Yeah. They're the hosts in this one. They're going up against the Courage side that, and we were just talking about this a little bit with Orlando, a team that's in a certain phase of their organization and their franchise. They're in a bit of a retooling and rebuilding year themselves. Lots of first-year players, players who are, looking to get build on extended minutes. But they are entering a stretch of the season where it looks like they are bought in and they are trying to execute those tactics. And then we've got they're going up against the Current now, where we're left with more questions week in and week out. Do you have a winner in this one? Do you have a loser in this one?
Yes and yes, I do have a winner and a loser. And I am going with North Carolina winning at Kansas City Current. So there's a lot of big storylines. I think probably the biggest one is Dabinia's playing her former team, where she scored 51 goals against North Carolina. And Dabinia is a big name player. So this for her probably has a little bit of extra. She wants to beat her old team. I would imagine we see a really good performance from her. But I want to stick with the Current and talk about what's going on there, because this has been really, I think, a little bit confusing for a lot of people. And being such a good form and what they were doing to, okay, what is happening? I think each game they're going from a four back to a three back to back to a four back. They can't seem to find stability in their defensive posture, which is not confusing to me because they don't have Elizabeth Ball. Addison Merrick plays in the three back, so there's one center back. But then they lost Kristen Edmonds, who was their big center back last year with the experience. Their back line lost all of its experience. And Alex Loera played in there a little bit. She's been injured, so you miss the bite that she had. And a little bit of that grit that she added to this team, whether it was as a holding mid or a center back in their three back last year. So when they do play in a three back, I think it's confusing to them because last year they were so expansive in that 3-5-2 or 3-5-2-1 or 3-4-2-1 that when they get in that three back, they want to do that again this year, but they can't with the players that they have. And so then they go to the four back, but then you have two rookie center backs, Sandra and Soto and Robinson as center backs. And I think these players have a really big future, but it's a lot of pressure to put on two rookies to play against some of these forwards and attackers in NWSL. So I think there's confusion within what they're trying to do and trying to execute. And I feel like I've seen it from them on the field. There are moments where it looks like they're thinking about what's the right move next instead of just playing the game. And so I think for Current, they need to play in the five back or the three back, but can Vanessa DiBernardo get on the ball a little bit more? Can they drop someone a little bit deeper next to her to be able to help them through build up and possession? Because they can't ever get out of their five back if they don't move the ball up the field. So they've been really stuck in this defensive posture and then just hoped that a long ball will get them out of it. One thing I'm excited about, Sandra, is we might see more time from Kristen Hamilton, and she can really add a different dynamic, because if they do get so defensive, there's an outlet who is different than CeCe Kaiser, who can hold the ball, different than Michelle Cooper, because I think Cooper can be that eventually, but she's just young, and Hamilton knows this league more than anybody. She can hold and allow players to join her. So that's maybe the moment that can help them having that outlet, but it's been pretty dire for this current squad, which we were on such a high from them. Everybody, like, this was going to be the best team of the league this year.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think, you know, mentioning Kristen Hamilton, I think, is one of those silver linings, I think, for Kansas City current, especially if you're a fan of the team and you're sort of just looking and waiting for that moment when you could say, okay, this is it. We're going to turn this ship around and we're going to get going. She's building on her minutes, right? But so I'm curious to see, you know, what's going to be, what her minute load is going to look like in a game like this. Because again, another player going up against a former team. I know folks are excited about the possibility of her play, not just along CeCe Kaiser, as you mentioned, but, you know, with Dabinia as well. Those are two players who played together for a long time in North Carolina. What's that going to look like once they finally get going, right? But we still come back to that defensive end of the pitch for this team. And I think while we're talking about things that, you know, tape that's out there on the scouting report, that is out there for the current. It's tough to take a look at right now at this moment. I think you got, like you mentioned, the two rookies. I think they kind of they overachieved a little bit. I think maybe in that early quarter of the season where there were maybe a couple narrow score lines or narrow losses and where they kind of showed some promise. But I'm with you. That's a lot to put on two first-year players. And then you're asking them to do that in front of a different goalkeeper week to week. That's also been a struggle as well for this team. So while I think there's exciting things to take a look at or try to pull the thread from on the attacking side of things for the current, I think you still look at that other phase and component for this team, and you just still have a lot of question marks about what that's going to look like moving forward. And if this is a team that is maybe trying to lean into those silver linings, those positive things that they have on this team, which is the attacking component of it all, then I think they're going to struggle in a game like this against a team, against the Courage, who never want to give you the ball. So if you are trying to lean into your good things, and like that's the return of Kristen Hamilton or CeCe Kaiser, Dabinia, et cetera, how are you going to make them a factor if you do not get them the ball? Yeah. So I'm also going with the Courage in this game as well. I think, again, North Carolina Courage, part of one of those clusters of teams who are trying to show that they are on the right path, that they're laying brick by brick as a team back as a contender after they've gone through some things in some various off seasons, and they're trying to show we're here to compete. And I think this is a game that they can go in on the road and take a win. I think they've got some things with the, besides, you know, wanting to be a team that has the ball, that has the possession, they want to do good things with that as well. And I think as they're starting to build this chemistry a little bit more with Tyler Lucy along that top line, with obviously Caroline in her second year with this team, is showing that she's evolving as a player in this league as well. I think timing is sometimes everything, and I think it's a really good time for to be a player on the Courage, because they're all putting things together. Yeah. And I they got the makings of a win in this one as well. So we went into the break going with the same team. We're coming out of this one with the same pick as well. Let's talk a little bit about Gotham FC versus San Diego Wave. This one kicks off on Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. You can catch the action on CBS Sports Network. Make sure you tune on in, because this has the good ones. Every time we get a chance to maybe talk about two upper half table teams going head to head, I think at this point, as we're approaching the halfway mark, you have to wonder in the back of your head, is it going to be a playoff preview? Who knows? Maybe it could be. So I'm looking at these two teams. Gotham, they have a second consecutive week under their belt now as number one. Do you think San Diego Wave have enough here to knock them off? Who are you going with, Jordan?
Gotham. Easy. At home. Last I heard 11,000 at Red Bull Arena. Let's go, Gotham fans and New Jersey, New York area, which, Sandra, I'm just going to tell you right now and everybody listening, I just realized that the New Jersey, New York symbol in Gotham. Like, I always thought it was just an NY, and now I see the J. And so that was last week, I think, I realized. Nice. Nice. So I am now up to date on all logos in NWSL. Gotham is, you don't know what you're going to get from them when they come out. And this is something that one Carlos Almaros, we saw him do this in Houston. He has a structure, but as the team develops and they understand what he wants of them defensively, they can attack you in so many different ways. That Bruninha, their outside right back, scored a goal on the left side of the box, cutting it inside to her right foot. Like, why is she there? Why was she there? And it was a beautiful goal. And their second goal that ends up getting called for a handball last weekend was probably my favorite goal I have seen. It was a diving header from Yasmin Ryan. But the buildup, like, they can hit you. They switch the way that they're attacking, which is so difficult to defend, because you expect if a team is building up, they're doing it in this pattern, and then they go to this last, they get this result. Well, they'll build up in this pattern and then they'll cut the ball across and totally go against the grain. And as a defensive team, you're like, whoa, wasn't expecting that. Then you scramble. I love the way this team is playing. Them and North Carolina right now are my two favorite teams to watch, because you don't really know what to expect from them. So I think Gotham is gonna handle business. For San Diego, can they be effective now that Korniak, I think, it will get some more playing time? She got about 60 minutes Wednesday. She's back fit and healthy, and we know that how they want to play when Korniak's in there. Alex Morgan had 6 goals against Gotham last year. So I think if you're a San Diego team, you're pretty excited that, Alex has a good run of form against them. And sometimes that's very telling as a forward. You don't know why, but you just score goals against certain teams. So this one's going to have this is going to be, I know Cascadia rivalry is going to be best energy. This is going to be second best energy of the weekend, because it's going to be a good game. Both teams are going to have moments where they really are trying to play, but I think Gotham is going to bring a little too much creativity in the way that they attack for the San Diego team to be able to handle.
I'm with you. I think, look, it's the headliner game of Sunday, right? It's got all the attention on it. I mentioned you could watch it on CBS Sports Network. It's got all these good things built into it and around it. But I'm also going with Gotham for all the aforementioned reasons. I mean, hell, if it's just on streak alone, yeah. Gotham has given nobody a reason to pick against them at this point. And just, you could keep it as simple as that. But I'm with you. I think their run of form right now is too impressive to go against them. I look at San Diego, and they're coming off of a tough midweek win against OL Reign, and I would anticipate that travel is not something that they were going to look forward to on the road either, and I think that's going to work against them a little bit, even though you've got the great stat line there with Alex Morgan and how she's played against Gotham, but this is not that same Gotham team that she scored against by any means. Shout out to all of the tickets sold. You love to see it. I know we're excited to see it all play out on the screen, but we're just going to keep it simple. Their run of form is just too good right now, and we're both going Gotham. Easy peasy. I love it when it's like that. Let's talk about the next game. Let's talk about Angel City FC versus Chicago Red Stars. This one actually got rescheduled. This was going to be a one on the weekend, but they had to get pivoted to Monday. So this one is kicking off on a weekday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in if you can. I don't know. Who knows? It's a school night. So maybe maybe there might be some folks who are.
Is it still school? I don't know. I
mean, some folks out here are still
probably. Colorado, everybody's out. So I'm
No, there's still some people hanging on in Chicago. That's why I'm like, hold on, it's still not quite. We're not quite there yet, but we'll see what comes out of this one. Does that weigh in to your pick for this week at all, Lisa? Jordan, is the rescheduling of everything, or the travel for Chicago, or the recent result in Challenge Cup for Angel City, play into a pick for you in this one? Do you have a winner, loser, or a draw in this one?
This one was probably the toughest of the weekend for me to pick a result, because Angel City, we don't really know who's available. They've had a lot of injuries. They've been dealing with some COVID protocols. So who's available for Angel City? And I think we're at the point where we're going to see more of those players back. Jun Endo did have a knee injury. I heard it wasn't anything ACL related, but had a big brace on her knee during their last match this week. So that's a big loss for them. But Angel City at home, we saw Julie Ertz get some minutes in Portland midweek, which is going to be good for them. They scored 2 goals against Portland, which they came back. So they're right there. The drive, I think, of this Angel City squad is a real positive for them in the midst of some difficult moments. So they get Ertz back, positive. Sydney LaRue has been on the bench for 2 games in a row. And what a perfect time to debut her against the Chicago Red Stars at home in the stadium Monday night. This is going to be, I think, Angel City come away with a win in this one. The Red Stars have not figured, it's been difficult for them. This has been a really difficult season. And there's a lot of things happening that I think we as outsiders say, okay, you could solve this by just bringing in a couple of players. Well, who's going to bring in players when there's no owner of the team?
Yeah.
That's the big issue right now, I think, because there's spots that could be filled and I think players that could fill them right now. So can Chicago find their way into another good performance? Because I would say they've had a couple of good performances in a row, haven't had the losses like they have had, but no Penelope Hawking in their last game with a leg injury. Shayna Matthews did get some time. That could really help them in some of the experience that this team lacks, especially up front. But they need to have their big Chicago in order to stay in this game, need to have Nagasato, Ricaro, those players in the midfield, and then Davidson and Kruger have just good, solid games. Keep the ball, keep possession, and don't give away anything too sloppy, because you know, Alyssa Thompson will punish you if you do.
Yeah. Look, I think there's enough in their more recent games that you could look at and say, what are the good things that you're taking away? And for Chicago, obviously, it's a win, right? They get a win in their first in over a month. Even with Angel City in that recent loss, there were some good things within that they could take away and build on at home. I think you're hitting it right on the head in terms of it might come down to who's available for this match, really, on both sides of the ball here. But I think if Sydney LaRue is anywhere close to getting some minutes for Angel City, that's going to be capital P problems for Chicago Red Stars, especially Julie Ertz. If we saw, I mean, I was so curious to see your reaction to that too, because you were like, I don't know if we're going to see her play on turf in Portland. And she came in towards the end and it was like, all right, let's try to make a game of it. And they did. They really did. So I'm very curious about all of these things. There's also all those kind of storylines going into this one too, right? We've got Ricaro returning to Angel City and playing against, her former club. We've got, Sarah Gordon and Julie Ertz, likely to play against their former club as well for the first time. Like, there's all these little things in between the lines that I think folks can take a look at. But, I think at the end of the day, Jordan, it comes down to who's going to be able to get the ball in the back of the net. And I just think that Angel City has a little bit more to their advantage in this one, especially if McCaskill is going to get those extended minutes in this game versus what she didn't see in the Challenge Cup midweek. Uh-huh. So I think the rotation is there enough for Angel City. And I don't look at these two teams and say, these are two teams with a ton of depth. I think you could look at them. They've had the least to sort of start this first half of the season. But I think for right now, at this phase, at this moment, in this particular matchup, that also goes to Angel City in terms of the edge. So I've got them with a win in this one as well, despite Chicago coming in off of a really big, emotional, probably motivating type of win that they just had against Orlando. So it's a tough place to play in Los Angeles. And I think there's going to be some factors there that they have to build up against. I don't know if this one's going to be a wild, scoreline, but I do think Angel City is going to get the win. So that's funny. I think we went for each team for the win in this second section of our episode. You love to see it. We'll definitely have to talk about if we were correct in our picks. Don't worry, I jotted them all down. Lisa let me borrow her notebook. So we'll go over them on the recap when we get a chance. But don't leave us. We're going to preview the Women's Champions League final really quickly before we close out the episode. So we'll be back after a quick break.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's chat about the UWCL final. It's kicking off on Saturday, June 3rd, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can watch it on CBS Sports Network. We've got all kinds of great stuff lined up for everyone, so make sure you tune in. We've got pre and post game coverage, analysis. We've got it all for you. And we're going to chat about Barcelona and Wolfsburg. We've got two heavyweights going head to head for Europe's biggest crown. Jordan, who are you feeling in this one and why? I loved hearing you during the semis and all of the great coverage that we had around those knockout rounds.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about these two teams. Okay.
Well, I loved covering that. And I just saw the lineup for the final and it's going to be fire. So a really good panel there. Breaking this one all down for you guys. And it just really starts your day, right, Sandra? You just watch this in the morning and then you're just all women's soccer all day long, which we love. I'm conflicted with this because Barcelona has one of the best forms of any team probably ever. They have scored over 100 goals in their league. They get to the final by beating Chelsea in a really convincing way. So this Barcelona team gives you a lot to handle, especially with Graham Hansen and the way that she can float and drift and find ways to punish you. But I'm going to say it again. I said it on the broadcast when we were after the Wolfsburg won. I think Wolfsburg is just tactically so much more sound, and they will be able to put a really good game plan together versus Barcelona. They've now had a month to be able to figure out how they're going to face Barcelona and slow them down. Barcelona really heavily attacks their left side of the field. So I think Wolfsburg is going to say, all right, we're going to figure out a way to mitigate that, maybe even stop them from getting to the left side. But then in transition, this Wolfsburg team can be great. Payor has 8 goals this year in Champions League. Phenomenal forward for them. And their midfield is just rock solid. I gotta go Wolfsburg. It's a one-off game. I think it's going to be really tight and might even have some extra time included in it. This is going to be But it's exactly what you want for a final. It's in Eindhoven. Oh. It's going to be a great atmosphere. But I think this is going to be a lot tighter game than Barcelona has been in. And I think that might pose them a challenge.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I think if we look back at those semifinal rounds for Barcelona specifically, I think you could say, like, listen, Chelsea really gave them a run there. You know, it wasn't like they came out there and they absolutely dominated or thwomped them and sent them home, you know, on a really lopsided scoreline. That's not necessarily what happened. Although, I think on the other side of that coin, you could say, what great preparation for going up against the Wolfsburg in a final. You know, it's like they can sustain a certain amount of things. They can figure out a way to unlock a really organized performance in front of them. And that's, I think, something that Wolfsburg can present to Barcelona. But I think you look at those pieces that they have, all all these different players who can provide that sort of X factor, that, you know, players that you have to account for at any moment, in any second on the pitch. And I think that goes the way towards Barcelona. You give them the edge. I mean, Carolyn Graham-Hampson, we saw what kind of semifinals she provided for Barcelona. And this is a player who just tends to rise to this type of occasion for Barcelona. She's got highlights for this team all across the board, but especially within Champions League fixtures. I think the return of Alexia Putellas, I think, is something that they can also be motivated by. Even if those minutes are limited or restricted, depending on how and how far she can go. But I think that doesn't really matter, because you look at the form of Bonmatí and everything that she's provided for Barcelona in that middle third, in the absence of Putellas. I just think there's a lot more there for Barcelona. So I'm with you in that. I think it's going to be a bit more of a competitive game, I think, that people might anticipate. I think they might look at all that star power and say, ugh, this is going Barcelona. But I don't know if it goes that way that easily. Yeah. Just because of Wolfsburg and the pieces that they have and their experience as well. And they're going to be equally motivated. You know, they're on the hunt for their third title, their first since 2014. You know, and they've been back to this dance a few times and have had to walk away empty-handed. So I think we're going to be in for a real treat. But I think ultimately, when it's all done and dusted, I think it might go Barcelona's way. But let us know who you've got in the UWCL final. Throw it in the chat. You know, we always want to hear from you. Do you have Barcelona or Wolfsburg? Are you going to watch on CBS Sports Network? Tune in to all the pregame and postgame and halftime coverage and analysis and content. I know you will. I know you're going to join us because we appreciate it when you all join us on Attacking Third. But that's a wrap for us today, this morning. Thank you all so much for listening to Attacking Third. Download, follow, listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. You can watch us too. So subscribe at youtube.com/Attacking Third. And we'll be back with a recap of the matches that we made picks on. So stay tuned for Sandra Herrera and Jordan Angeli. This was Attacking Third.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Magical! Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.